Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA/SIPC.
Good morning, everybody. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group in Mystic, Connecticut, up from the Steak Loft at Exit 90. I run a little office there. I like to call it a mini family office. If anybody would like to call in today, we are at 860-464-9490. You can call in. Talk about anything you want. And if you bore me, I'll cut you off short. But if you're exciting, I'll let you go on and on and on as long as you want. And, of course, I'm the sole arbitrator of that decision. But hope everybody's doing well. Beautiful weather out there. Get out there and get going. Sail Fest this week at New London Groton Harbor. I guess the fireworks are tonight. And we are now here at 94.9 News Now. And my name is Dennis O'Brien. Family offices. What is a family office? Why would you care? And what is it all about? Well, many people don't realize that in Mystic we have a family office that runs over $1 billion for a very wealthy client who started a business that's a household name. And it sits in a little house, and well, nobody really knows they're there. I know the guy that runs the office. And he has a staff of maybe, I don't know, five or six here and probably another 15 to 20 in New York City running the assets for this very wealthy individual family, I guess you would call it, whatnot. A family office is something that has become in vogue with some of America's wealthier families. What it does is coordinates all their legal, financial, and administrative functions in one office, usually seen by an experienced person that's, might have worked as a trust officer or a CFO or maybe an accountant by background. But this person usually will coordinate everything. It's very, very important that the person that runs the office picks good people to help them run the portfolios for the individual, constantly looking at the investment opportunities of this person. Also, a big part of the family office is going through all the requests for charitable aid. A lot of groups send letters to these family offices looking for help, and usually have one person that handles the charitable side if the family fortune's large enough. There's one person probably handles the accounting, the tax. The tax works closely with the tax professionals. Also with counsel inside and outside. If the IRS does an audit, they work very, very closely, and usually people of that net worth get audited almost every year. It's just part of the everyday thing of being wealthy and whatnot. Why am I talking about family offices? Well, because the wealthy know that things get complicated, okay? They know that running money, doing taxes, buying property, having trust designed is very complicated. It's an area of sometimes 10, 12, 15 or more specialties that no one person can know or do. Yet you are told every day on the radio or on TV or in magazines that you can be your own portfolio manager. You can be your own insurance agent. You can do your own legal work. And it's absolutely absurd. There's not enough hours in the day to learn everything you need to learn. For example, I don't do insurance because, number one, I don't have time to keep up with it. On the investment side, doing the retirement planning, working with individuals, coordinating the other pros that some of my clients have a good CPA or not so good CPA. So we have to coordinate and make sure that they have the best help they can get. Some of them have a good estate attorney. Some of them don't have such a good estate attorney or none at all. So it's very, very important that if they're going through a divorce or any major change, they lose a spouse, it's very, very, very important that we get the best person in the spot for them. And I can tell pretty quickly whether or not that person knows what they're talking about. Now, some people call it a financial quarterback. I wouldn't call it that. It's just a kind of like person that just helps you and advises you, whispers in your ear what you need to do and get done and whatnot. I had a situation come up this week where a client, he is not a client, he's probably going to become one. He had a minor child. He's retiring, has a minor child, and he has the right to get Social Security for that child. But it was complicated by a divorce, and the person that had main custodialship was the ex-wife. So we had to coordinate with trying to get the ex-wife and him on the same page with Social Security so the account was set up correctly and whatnot. So I didn't know anybody at Social Security to talk to, but I did know someone who worked there for many, many years, and I asked them, maybe you can come in and would you mind talking to this person? And he said, oh, absolutely, more than happy to help. And so he did that, and I don't know what's become of that. But, you know, I use an extensive list of contacts of people I trust to give good advice or to help or steer you in the right direction, because no one, and I mean no one, can do it all. And some people claim they can, but run, because they can't. And it just can't be done. And you're not expected to do it all either. So, you know, as I was driving up to Ledyard from Mystic, I was just thinking about, you know, family offices and the things that happen out there. And I was thinking of how the very wealthy families handle these things, and how it would be behoove to you to find someone that can help you with a good network. And that's what I try to do at O'Brien Retirement, as I try to, if you don't have the network already, I will try to develop it for you to get the right, have you working with the right team of people. Because that's critical. Because if you make a big mistake on your taxes, on your investments, on the home you purchase, I've got a real estate guy that's super, super sharp, and he'll tell you if you're making a mistake. And that's, I love a person, a pro, that's honest, even if there's nothing in it for them. You give me honesty and integrity, and I'm your friend. I want you to help my people, you know. So that's something that is very, very important to me and should be very, very important to you. In the next segment, we're going to talk about what's going on with these tariffs. Why are the markets rattled so much more overseas than they are here? They're rattled a little bit here, but overseas, I mean, emerging markets, Asian markets, and even the European markets, much more rattled than we are. And why is that? And what does that mean? And how is this all going to play out? Nobody knows for sure, but we'll talk about that a little bit. There's a very interesting article by a guy named Chadwick Moore that wrote about what has happened in the middle of this country due to free, and I use the word free sarcastically, because there is nothing free about it. We have been taken over, we've been fooled, we've been taken advantage of, and for whatever reason, people didn't think out ahead before they signed these agreements. We were taken for suckers, and a lot of people, it's caused a lot of devastation in a lot of towns. So we'll talk about that in the next segment a little bit. In any case, my name is Dennis O'Brien. If you like my Retirement 10 Commandments, email me at dobrien@ifgrr.com or call me anytime after the show at 860-415-9614 or go to my website, obrienretired.com. We'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll talk about a bunch of other stuff. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, www.obrienretired.com. If you'd like my Retirement 10 Commandments, I'll whisk them right out to you, and we can sit down and chat. The first question I always get from people out there is, hey, I want to come in and see you. What's your hourly rate? And it's the first question everybody asks. And I don't have an hourly rate. I don't charge by time. Only time I'll charge you is a flat fee, no commission account. most of the time for running the money. But you can come and see me. You basically put me on retainer, and you can come and see me and ask me a million questions, and it doesn't cost you a penny. And even if you don't become an account, my motto is I turn nobody away that needs help. If you don't have a penny to your name and you have $12,000 in credit cards and you need some help and someone to talk to, call me and I will help you, and there's no charge. Why do I do this? It's absolutely the worst business plan ever because I made an agreement with the big guy upstairs that when I started this company, I would help anybody and everybody. And I told a story about I was looking at a website of a lady who runs a lot of money for her. She's like nine people working for her. She says she has a spot on her thing, which I thought was clever. She goes, second opinion on your portfolio. Click this button for portfolios of a million or more. I will give you a second opinion on your holdings. You know, I thought it was clever. I had never seen the second opinion thing, which is common in the medical, you know, doctor. You know, you get a certain prognosis. You say, well, let me, especially if it's bad, let me get a second opinion on that. But for a million or more. And I thought, well, you know, she's in New York City. I get it. She doesn't want to waste her time. She's got a lot of people working for her and everything else. But I purposely kept my mini little family office very mini, very low cost, so I can deal with anybody I like. And the only qualification is I got to like you. If you're a screamer or a yeller, chances are I'm not going to be motivated to help you, okay? But if you're a nice person that made a mistake and you need someone to talk to, give me a ring and I'm more than happy to help you. Because we all stumble. We all make mistakes. You show me someone who's never made a mistake and I'll show you a dead person. You know, they never lived. We all make mistakes and it's okay. And I call Father Confessor because sometimes I sit across the desk and they say, well, I did this, and I did that, and I did that, and I let them go, and then I said, okay, what are we going to do about it now? It's all over. Forget about it. Let's go. What are our plans, and what are we going to do now? And they look at me, and they go, okay. And we start working through possible solutions. So nothing can't be solved if you're dedicated to doing it, all right? And the famous story, the greatest investment advice, I was talking to a billionaire guy one time, and he said, later I saw the kind of same story in a Dave Ramsey book. He said, I said, what's your best investment advice? And he said, well, he goes, read one book and you'll understand it. And I go, what's the name of the book? He goes, The Tortoise and the Hare. And when you think about it, my tortoises, the people that automatically put money, you know, automatic deposit with me every month out of their bank accounts, those tortoises are the ones that, if they're not wealthy already, are well on their way. And the hares, the ones that open up that E-Trade account, look at those ads and want to make that quick hit, you know, boom, boom, boom. The tortoise and the hare. The tortoise always beats the hare in the long run. Be a tortoise, not a hare. That might be my new advertising slogan. What do you think? But it's so true, you know, and it's absolutely critical that when you are trying to get organized and need help, please call. The meter is not running. You can talk to me as many times as you want. And if I like you, I even might take you out for coffee. And if I really like you, I'll take you out to lunch. Or you can take me out to lunch. Whatever works for you guys. But in any case, my name is Dennis O'Brien. This is Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. And I want to talk about the debate. We just had some sound bites about the debate, and I went to it because the nice ladies in the office here, when I came in the other day, gave me some tickets. So my wife, the Norwegian princess, is in Norway with her dad and sister. And so it's me and the beagle, who's 14 and incontinent. And I said, well, I think I'll go to the debate, check it out. And it was very interesting. Five gentlemen, was a Republican debate in Mohegan Sun, with five gentlemen on stage, three very wealthy guys, okay, two career politicians, Herbst and Boughton, I guess, was the other guy. And usually I quickly the personality distinctions were very unique and everything else. And as I was looking at them and listening to them, I said, who is the guy that is going to be nasty enough to fight the entrenched interests? Who is the person that has the personality just to say, that can't be bought? You know, and that's really what it comes down to, because I look at Connecticut and I look at the housing prices, all right? And this is the key. They can talk all they want about this and that and the state income tax. The bottom line is, when the value of your house has lagged the rest of the country 30% since 2012, I looked on the stage, and it's cool as the Democrats too, Lamont and Gannon guy, said, who out of those seven people are going to be able to get my house to rise in value and reverse the course of the last 8 years and catch up with the rest of the country? I don't want to even beat the rest of the country. All I want to do is catch up. I want to catch up to that 30% lag. Okay? So who can do this? Now, how they do it? Well, obviously we need growth. Obviously we need jobs. In order to do that, we need to restructure costs. We need to bring down the cost of doing business. There's a million ways to do it. Personally, I think we need to do the Connecticut Covenant, which is let any town in Connecticut borrow money short-term to lower their mill rate to 11. In 3.5 years, so much money will come into that town, and on the investment side, their revenues will be higher than they were before they cut the mill rate, and they'll be able to pay back that debt. All 160 towns could go to the special fund and borrow money for 3.5 years, as long as they promise to keep their mill rate down at 11. And why 11? Because that's Greenwich's rate. That's the lowest in the state. Whoever does that, all right, you know, you take New London at 48, Norwich at 52 mills. What would happen to those two towns if they took the Connecticut Covenant, which is a term I made up, okay, this is my idea, went to the Connecticut Covenant and says, we promise to cut our mill rates 11 and not raise them for 30 years, only a 2% increase after that. What would happen to those two towns? Those towns would explode with investment opportunities. Monies would pour into those towns. Right now, money is pouring out of those towns because there's disincentives to invest. Monies would pour into those towns. So what happens is 3, 4, 5 towns would try it, and the rest of the towns would go, holy Toledo, we got to get on board here. Besides, I'll get reelected if I cut the mill rate to 11, right? What would happen, you know? And I argue that this has already happened in California in the late 70s. Do you know, on a $2 million house in California, because of the propositions they passed 30 years ago, 40 years ago, that the property taxes on a million, $2 million house are only like $3,000, $4,000? Do you know this? People don't realize, but California has high taxes. California has high taxes, but their property taxes, that's because nobody wants to sell because they don't want to be stuck in the new regimen of the higher property taxes. Boston did the same thing in the early 80s. They cut their property taxes 80% in Boston. Boston went on a boom that's still continuing. Property taxes are the key to growth. I heard nobody in the debate talking about this. But when I talked to real estate people, they told me if that plan went through, town by town, the state would start to boom, but it'd be a real boom. It wouldn't be top-down spending like the state loves to do and give big contracts out to their favorites. This would be bottom-up, street by street, people buying into housing, redoing the houses. Companies would maybe now look and go, hey, you got a little renaissance going on in some of your cities. I got a tech company here. Oh, man, I just got, you know, I'm in Boston, I'm in New York. My costs are out of control. I would love to come to a small city that had it going on. They're not going to be first early adopters. They want to see what you are going to do. So it's like anything else. If that ever came to fruition, any of you candidates out there are listening, or there are people, this is the key. You're never the state income tax. I would love to see it slowly fade away. All right. But unless you have bottom-up growth from all these towns, especially the cities, because the cities are killing us. The cities, we just throw money after dollar, and they're generating no economic activity. And they should be the job creators. You don't believe me? New York City, if you their mill rate, the residential mill rate in New York City is 17. The great largest city, one of the largest, greatest cities in the world, have a low property tax rate. Because the people that run New York City know that if you keep the property tax low, you're seeing neighborhood by neighborhood getting redone, rejuvenated. You're seeing businesses, tech companies coming in, all that. We are so close. We have so much to offer these companies. There is a huge upstart in millennium starting companies, and we're not getting any of it. They're still leaving us. They're still leaving us. The key is growth. So all you candidates out there, the key is let's get these towns, town by town, going again. And everybody will benefit, even your union members out there, your cops, your firemen, your teachers. Your house will go up 30%. And that's what we want. We want that bottom-up growth. So that's key. So if you have any questions, sorry I went on a political rant, but you know, hearing those sound bites and listening to the debate the other night, I just wanted to put my two cents in, and I have a radio show, so why not? Anyway, if you have any questions, please feel free to call into the show at 860-464-9490, or you can call me during the week at 860-415-9614. If you like my retirement 10 commandments, go to www.obrienretire.com. I'll talk to you in a few. Bye. Dennis O'Brien, the Retirement Life and Investing Show. Your retirement, your life, your investments. We are on News Now, 94 Now, News Now. And the number to call in is 860-464-9490. And if you're driving out there, please do not tailgate. I can't stand those tailgates. You know state law requires you to stay three car lengths behind the driver in front of you. Please obey the law, and if you're on the highway going 70, please use 6 or 7 car lengths. It might save your life. Anyway, let's talk about what's going on in the markets. They've been very volatile. Tariffs. Everybody's worried about that. My take on it is I'm looking at the different industry groups. One of the industry groups, as you know, I might have, if you've listened to me in the past, is the biotechs. I like the biotech ETFs. They kind of ran up 10, 12, 15% in the last few weeks. There's been some breakthroughs. Supposedly there's an Alzheimer's breakthrough, but I don't know if it's confirmed or not. And I forget the name of the company. But it tends to help the whole group. So I had a client in it, and they said, what do you think? And I said, well, I said, it's run up a lot. If you want to take it, I have no problem with it, as long as you buy the banks. And she said, why the banks? I go, because the banks have been under pressure, but I've never seen an environment better for the banks. Rates stay low. The lending on the longer end, they have nice spreads. A lot of the millennials are going to allow them to close. Millennials don't carry cash or go to bank branches as much as boomers, so they're going to be able to close branches and raise their margins. And I really, really like the banks here and whatnot. So there's a lot of areas on the income side I like a lot. They haven't run up at all. So you can get, depending on your risk tolerance, 2 to 3 on the treasuries, 5.5 on the preferreds. You can get 7, 8, 9. These are current yields, not total yields, because you don't know your total return, because you don't know what they'll do after you buy them. But I'm talking about cash, dividend yields, current yields coming in. And some of the REITs are actually yielding 9, 10, 11. Now, they do move around, and I do try to watch them on the low side and whatnot. But we have one of our favorite callers and only caller, Sam in Westerly. Hey, Sam, how are you? How you doing, brother?
Let's see. 80 and three are still breathing.
All right. All right. What's on your mind today?
Hey, you just hit a topic that I'm kind of sensitive to.
What's that?
You talk about car lengths behind other cars.
Yeah.
You know, and all too often you hear people talk about, well, you know, so this car length or those car lengths. How do you measure these car lengths? They don't know what car. Well, how about let's think in terms of time. Have you ever heard of a three-second rule?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if anybody explained it very well, but as you're going along, you know, you can pick like a guardrail post or a crack in the road or a sign or something where you see this, the back of the car behind you, in front of you.
Right.
You know, they just hit that spot and you're traveling and you can immediately be again counting. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Well, if you get to that spot before the 3 seconds that you've counted off, then you're too close.
Right.
But, of course, I always jump
that's a lot of work, Sam.
Anyway.
I prefer to eyeball it myself, but that's a lot of work. But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
It's easy to think, you know, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, you know.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. I saw two fender benders. I drove down to Greenwich Tuesday to drop Laurie and her dad to her sister's house down in Greenwich, right? And then they're going to Uber it down to JFK. I couldn't get out of Fairfield County quick enough. OMG. They're absolutely out of their minds down there. And the infrastructure, the traffic. Now, bear in mind, I timed it so I'd try to get out of there before rush hour. Rush hour. There is no.
They're out of, 24 hours of
it's,
rush.
You know, in the summer, it is what it is. But I couldn't get out of it. As soon as I got on the other side of New Haven, I went. And then when I got the old Saybrook Bridge, there were two fender benders on our side of it. When I got over the old Saybrook Bridge, I was like, oh, thank God I can relax a little bit here. But you're right. You're absolutely right. It's these people are tailgating, and it's causing a lot of problems. Does it really matter if you get there 1.8 seconds faster, and you've taken 10,000 times more risk?
Another thing that kind of kills me is, you know, that traveling, say, 91 north or something like that, you know, going past Hartford, and you're going along, I'm cruising 70, and all of a sudden, boom, guys on motorcycles, they got to be going over 100 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that whine of that engine as it goes by your ears, it's very distracting.
Yeah. I was in Arizona in early April, about 20 miles outside Phoenix, and the traffic had slowed down to 20, 25 miles an hour, and I was thinking of doing my little jigaboo right over to the right side there and get into that lane. And out of the corner of my eye, on the passenger side rearview mirror, I saw a tiny dot. I saw a tiny dot moving, and I went, what's that?
Uh-oh.
What's that? I better just stay. Sam, the guy went by me at 120 miles an hour.
Yeah.
In traffic.
And,
almost
and
stopped.
They just love it. You know, and I could care less if they lose their head going around a curve or something.
I kind of had like a little nightmare about I was going to make the turn. He didn't stop. He went flying through the air, 120 feet.
And then some.
And hit the pass above. And, oh, my God. It's there are some people with death wishes out there, that's for sure. Yeah, but everything else okay, Sam?
So far, blessed. Nobody's watching over me.
Oh, that's great. Well, have a great day, okay?
Thank you. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, so anyway, that's our traffic rant. Thanks a lot, Sam. I do appreciate you calling in and talking about that because Fairfield County, I was down there, and I couldn't leave quick enough. They all have this grim look on their face. They're just packed in, and the infrastructure has not kept up, of course, and the money went elsewhere. You know that story and whatnot, so it is what it is. But, getting back to tariffs. The whole tariff thing is a phony thing, okay? What happened is when Microsoft came along, and was able to take the computers and enable them to talk to each other through the Microsoft Office system, productivity went through the roof. But the side thing that allowed corporations to have worldwide operations at a click of a button. And when Clinton signed NAFTA, okay, it was probably the worst thing that could have ever happened to this country. Because what happened is these corporations just looked and just said, oh, I can click the button anywhere, run documents, operations, CAD-CAM software, manufacturing. I can run it to the lowest cost spot. Quality, maybe good. Regulatory, Environmental, But the costs are lower, so we're going to do it. And that's what happened, and everything drained, okay? Now, that was bad, but then China came along, and China realized that if they target certain industries, and one by one they started targeting our industries, one by one. Now, the Chinese did it a really, really clever way. What they did was, when they targeted an industry, they also said, okay, our electrical guy, because they're all part of that same clique that runs the country, you're going to provide subsidized power at maybe 20% of the cost. The land, don't worry about that. Labor, we'll get the cheap labor from the villages come in. Now we can coordinate everything, and we can undercut any normal competitive situation, and that's what they did. One by one, they cheated, they lied, and then they started stealing an intellectual property. Like, why not? They're getting away with it, and they control everything. And so one by one, towns in America, especially from Pennsylvania on in, all started, the factories started to close. First they went to Mexico, first, and then eventually a lot of them went to Asia. And we built up a beautiful middle class in Asia, okay? But there's no such thing as free trade. The trade's been manipulated. And then what the Chinese did on top of that is every time we were distracted by an event here in this country, the Chinese would devalue their yuan to make them, our business people who had become really, really competitive and were running good, tight shops to fight them, they would devalue, and it would just kill the competitiveness of our people. And so we've been fighting with one hand behind our back on the world stage, okay? And the Chinese know we're on to them, okay? They've even gone to the Europeans and said, hey, let's get together, and the Europeans go against America. And the Europeans looked at them and go, we know what you do. We don't trust you with our technology either, you know. So I think what's gone on out there is we're finally fighting back. We need to. We need to have it'd be nice to be fair, but I can't trust it being a fair level playground. And for right now, if he needs to put some tariffs on these guys to slow them down and think again, it's a good thing. Dennis O'Brien, if you like my Retirement Ten Commandments, go to www.retirement.com and call if you'd like an appointment at 860-415-9614. Be back in a few. Thanks. Dennis O'Brien, president of retirement of, who am I president of there, Chris? I'm getting about 5 hours sleep thanks to Daisy the Beagle, okay? So I'm looking at his cocoa over there going, I need the caffeine. I'm so tired. Anyway, Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. I am here to help you save, plan, and execute your retirement without losing your mind or stressing out. Now, when I say retirement, you know, when I first got into business 38 years ago, we used to plan for like 75 years old. And you made it to 75, that would be your life expectancy. You know what I plan for now? 95. The average age is 84, but half of you are going to live longer than that. And especially you gals out there, you're going to live a lot longer than we are. When I'm planning for retirement, the big thing they try to scare you with all these annuity companies, will you outlive your money and whatnot? I say the heck with that. Go have some fun. Travel in your 60s. Keep traveling in your 70s, maybe not as much, because when you hit your 80s, God willing you're there, you're not going to travel as much. That's just the reality, okay? And I've seen it time and time again. People say, I'm not going to do. Go have some fun. Travel a little bit if you've been a good boy or girl and have saved your money, okay? And I want you to do that. I want you to have fun because you're only on this planet once, unless you believe in reincarnation. Then maybe more than once. Maybe a lot of times more than once. So have a good time. Talked to a gentleman this week. He has, $500,000 in a local bank sitting there earning nothing. I said, what's it earning? He looked at me and he goes, that's why I'm here. And we laughed, you know, and I said, what made you hold off for so long? And he went, didn't know anybody. And I went, all right, that makes sense. And I said, have you made any investments? He goes, yeah, the bank nailed me on an annuity. And I go, yeah, you got nailed all right, because, you know, they're very, very good for the salesman, very good for the insurance company, but for the investor, they can be okay, but they tie you up a long time, they have high commissions, and I don't sell products. I just basically charge you a flat fee, no commissions, and your money is your money from day one. And if I do a good job and I can throw off enough income, I can even pay the fee out of part of the income. So, you know, nobody writes me a check, so, you know, it is what it is. So, but the key is to diversify, but not diversify. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. The secret of the stock market is this. There are now 8,000 publicly traded companies in America, okay? 95% of them are crap. Don't buy them. The other day, a friend of mine, her mom, sold a cocaine company to buy a really crappy one at the advice of someone. And they came to me and said, what do you think? And I go, no. This company, they're losing products, and it's not good. So anyway, the secret of the stock market is 95% of the companies I wouldn't touch. But the 5%, the Hall of Famers, the wonderful, wonderful business plans, entrepreneurs that run these companies, that's where all the money's made, okay? Now, we all have heard of some of them, you know. Who hasn't heard of Amazon? A guy was on TV the other day on one of the business channels, and they said, what do you think of the tech companies? He made me laugh. He goes, I searched for it on Google, I bought it on Amazon, and then I bragged about it on Facebook, Instagram. I just laughed. I thought it was pretty clever, actually, because, and usually the funniest things have a bit of truth to them, and, you know, I hate to say it, but everybody's caught on to the fact that these companies are going to grow and grow and grow over time. They're so expensive. They've gone up so much, but I hate to say it, but is it going to stop anytime soon? Are you going to stop searching on Google? Are you going to stop buying things on Amazon? Are you going to stop bragging about it on Facebook, Instagram? I don't know. Maybe you will. But my guess is, I don't think so. And the thing about these companies is, and others like them, are they're worldwide. So the government has a hearings in this country about Facebook and information and everything else, which is a real concern. What are you doing with our information, right? But Facebook looks at this and goes, well, this is just, you know, 12% of our base. This is not a big deal to us. You know, they look at the world very, very differently than the individual governments do, because the world is their oyster and we are just a small part of it. So wherever you go in the world, those 2 billion users of Facebook, and I don't know what Google has. Google is something else. And, and then Amazon. Jeff Bezos is, you know, he's probably the greatest of all time, you could argue, you know, in terms of business plan and whatnot. So, you know, these are the things that, The key to the stock market is make sure you buy in that 5%, okay? Don't trade them. Buy them. They go down 40% on a correction, buy more. If the original investment holds, the reasons for buying it hold, nothing's really changed other than stupid sentiment, which changes in a second. You know, mood swings don't last, but business plans do if they're superb. So find those 5%ers. I know who they are. Not all of them, but I know most of them. And with my database, and I track them all, and sometimes they get beat up, and I'm in there buying a little bit here and buying a little bit there. Then I like my industry groups, and then I like my income stuff. And sometimes if the portfolio is big enough, I have all three in the portfolio. So if you're interested and want to learn more, just contact me, dobryan@ifgrr.com, or go to my website, obryanretired.com. I'll never charge you to talk to me. I will not charge you for products. I do not do front-end loads with big commissions. I do not do annuities with big commissions. I don't do any of that crap. And if I think you're going to do something dumb, no matter what it means to me financially, I'm going to tell you if I think you're doing something dumb. Because if you don't do business with integrity, what are you doing business for? And that is my motto, and that's what I believe in. And I try to surround myself with people that in my network do business the same way and have that same integrity. So when I send them someone, I am assured that they will treat that person with respect, integrity, and will not lie or cheat. And that's the people I try to surround myself with. And when you're a professional out there and you treat people honestly and straight up, I want to know you, because I have a lot of people I can send clients to and could help. And likewise, if you feel the same about me, feel free to do so as well. So that's very, very important to me, because I got a lot of people I've helped, and I want to help more. Some weeks it's 7 days a week. People go, hey, how's your business going? I go, 7 days a week. I never knew I'd work this hard at this age. But I'm absolutely loving it. Loving it. I love doing the research. I love learning, trying to help people solve their problem, whatever it may be. Some people don't like my answers. The lady that had over $90,000 in credit card debt I told you about a few months ago, I haven't heard back from her because she did not like the three alternatives I gave her. Now, they were my ideas, but they were tough. It meant changing everything about her life, you know, her and her husband's life. So I hope I hear from her. I hope she takes the bitter pill. I think she's still processing. Process away, but let's get going, because everybody's watching you. They want you to do well. You're loved by a lot of people. You're generous to a fault, but you need to get your financial house in order. Because what good is that doing anybody? And the stress will kill you. It will. All stress is bad. Some stress is good. It makes you work harder. I like a little stress when I'm under the gun, but not too much, you know. So it is what it is. So if anybody wants help, please give me a ring. You can go to my website. There's a form on the website. You can print it out. It's going to input data form or whatever. It's on the retirement planning. Basically what it is you list all your assets, okay? You list all your liabilities, and then anything special coming up like college, or you got to help out a family member, or you want to buy something big and you want to plan for it and put the money away. Whatever it is, you list everything and you bring it in. You don't have to, but it'd be nice if you did. But the second step is I need all your statements, because a gentleman came in the other day with a nice chat. I go, second step is I need all your statements. And he goes, then what happens? I go, then I need a week. And I go, well, he goes, why do you need a week? Because I go, I really study them and I think about it. And sometimes the initial thought isn't the right one. And you have to go back and go, all right, what am I missing here? How do I solve this puzzle? And how can I help? And sometimes I can help and sometimes I can't. And I'll tell you straight up, I can't help in this situation, because you bought this annuity 3 years ago and you put $400,000 into it, and the back end charge would be like 20 grand or something crazy. I'm not going to have you sell it and take the hit. I'm not going to have you do it. I'll say you just got to wait, and eventually when that disappears or lowers to a decent degree, then maybe we can take it out. But be rest assured, the person that sold it to you will try to do a 1035 exchange on you and earn another 6-8%. So be aware of that, okay? But if I can help, I will. It's very, very hard to get money out of the insurance companies. Oh boy, I'm getting good at it. because they get me mad, and when you get an Irishman mad, boy, oh boy, watch out. And sometimes they'll bring up phony things. Oh, this is the wrong form. No, this is the wrong form. Oh, you need a signature guarantee. Oh no, you need this. Oh, you know, you need this. Oh, the statement, you didn't have page 14 on, you know, whatever they come up with. Eventually we wear them down and get the money out of there and whatnot. I wish you all a wonderful weekend. Feel free to go to my website, O'BrienRetired.com, or call me at the office at 860-415-9614. Any problems you have, you want to talk, my door is always open. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. All that matters is if you're willing to accept help and reach out to me. I wish you all the very, very best, very, very best. And I hope my wife comes home soon, because I miss her and I love her very much. Have a great weekend, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye now.